Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.org.au.
Good morning, The Rocks. It's good to have all of you here, especially if you are our guest this morning. I want to welcome all of you. My name is Daniel Indrajaya. I'm one of the pastors here at church. And I'd like to remind all of us, as I always do, that our slogan around here is "No perfect people allowed." I want you to know, whether you're a long-timer here or whether you're just visiting, that none of us is perfect, and that's fine. I believe that God is gracious to all of us, and that's why He sent Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago to die to pay for our sins, and that's why we can sit here, stand here, because of God's grace in our lives. So you are in the right place this morning. I also like to welcome our YouTube viewers, podcast listeners. Thanks for joining in. Well, before I start this morning, I just want to clarify what's being said. Self-leadership seminar happening this Saturday. So normally this will cost you $48, and just for you for attending this church, James Bryan, the CEO of Lead Different, has been so nice to give us a free code for you to use so that you can attend this seminar for free. All right, but please don't share it with your friends outside at work so that you have 50 people coming in for free. This is just for you. If you want to invite them, tell them to come and register themselves at leaddifferent.org or .com. I can't remember, but you can just Google it. But only for you, please use the code that is on your card. But you have to register because we need to know that you are coming. So please do that. That's this Saturday. And the following day, on the Sunday, he's going to be our guest speaker. So our series, Trinity, will be held back by 1 week, which is okay. And the following Sunday, we'll finish this series, and that's going to be fantastic, all right? And don't forget, Next is coming up tonight. So if you are new in church, you want to know more about who we are, please come, because we want to get to know you, and we'd like to be able to explain to you our vision and how you can take part as well. It's no obligation, so it's not a church membership or anything like that, but just a get-to-know session. Please come if you're interested, and you need to register outside because we need to know how much food to prepare. And I think tonight's food is going to be fantastic, as always. Okay, well, this is the second week of our series, Trinity, and I'd like to just do a little bit of recap before we continue. Basically, Trinity is the revelation of the Bible that the God that we worship is only one God. He reveals Himself as the only one God. There is no other. So if you've heard of this God and that God, be known to you today. I think God wants you to know today that they don't even exist. They're just idols. They're just empty idols because there's only one true God. But this one true God exists as three distinct persons. So the key words here are one, three, and distinct: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I showed you this chart last week that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Spirit is also God. But they're distinct from one another. See, people have been trying to explain the concept of Trinity using different analogies. Like, for example, water. Water exists in three different forms. It can exist as liquid, it can exist as vapor, it can also exist as solid, as ice cube. But see, they're all the same, actually. So there's no distinction between them. So it's not really a perfect analogy. Some people say that God is like the sun. See, you have the star, the planet itself, and you have the heat, and you have the light. But the heat and the light are products of the sun, the planet, the star. So the sun is not the product of the Father. He's not created by the Father. The Spirit is also not created by the Father. So again, the sun analogy is not perfect because the sun, while he is God, and the Father is God, the Spirit is God, the Father is not the sun. The sun is not the Spirit, and the Spirit is not the Father. They are three completely distinct person, but they share one nature, and that one nature, that one being, we call God. That's why C.S. Lewis says, there's no human way we can perfectly understand this. We can somewhat get the idea because we live on a one-dimensional level, and God, on the divine level, can have this understanding that we can never have. So the only way we can respond to this is just to believe and trust that God reveals Himself to us as these three persons, and we believe that. That's why for the past 2,000 years, we as Christians have always held on this belief of the Trinity. One God existing in three different persons. All right? So last week we said God is not only a great God, this is God the Father, the first person in the Trinity, but He is also a good God. And that's, I think, the second portion of this is more difficult for us to accept because many of us have had different experiences where it is difficult for us to say that God is good. But I want to remind you again from what I used last week, Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. Our concept of good may not be the same as God's concept of good. Just like you as a parent, you have a different understanding of what is good than your children. They have limited understanding. We as parents have a fuller understanding. That's why if you are going through some rough time in your life, there's tragedy in your life that you don't understand, look at the second part of that verse. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him because the Lord is good. So if you're not a Christian here this morning, I want you to search for Him. I want you to explore the possibility that He exists, and I want you to worship Him. Taste and see for yourself. Don't just hear it from others. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And today, we're going to start the second part of this series, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. But before we do, I'd like to lead us in a word of prayer one more time. Shall we pray? Father, thank You for this morning. Thank You for the joy that we experience. Thank You for being here in the midst of us, because we know when two or three are gathered in Your name, You are right here. So thank You, Lord, for gathering us here. I believe we're here for a reason, so speak to us. We're ready to listen. In Jesus' name, we give You thanks. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
You know, I used to live in Singapore, and they say people in Singapore are looking for five C's. You know what those five C's are? Cash, credit card, cars, which, by the way, in Singapore, cost five times than they do here in Perth. I remember in the mid-90s, my business partner, my friend, bought a brand new Honda Civic for a cool $125,000. For a Honda Civic. That's the next C. And then condominium. Obviously, they don't have landed houses because land is scarce in Singapore. And then the final C is country club. Well, I know people who've had all the five C's until he got one big C that he doesn't like, and that is cancer. And suddenly, all the five C's meant nothing to him. See, a lot of people have all the five C's, and they're still not satisfied. They still pursue more C's, children, career, concubines, whatever. You can have all the C's in the world, but until you have the most important C of all, you will never be satisfied. And the most important C of all is Christ. Some of you Christians, you have Christ in your life, but you're still not satisfied. Like the people of this world, you're still looking after those C's in your life. The question is why? Why aren't Christians who already have Christ, they're not satisfied in their life? I think there are a couple of reasons. Number one, you don't value Christ. You don't appreciate Him as much as you should. To you, Christ is just an addition to your life. He's not your life. He's just an addition to your life. He's just a weekend activity for you. That's why Christ is not enough for you. And reason number two, this is, I think, true for a lot of Christians, is we don't know. We really genuinely don't know that Christ is enough for us. You know, there's a saying, I don't know who said this first, but if Christ is not all you need, maybe He's not what you need. If He's not all you need, maybe He's not what you need. I want to tell you three stories. A young couple who's been trying to have a baby for years has just come back from the doctor's office who confirmed their suspicion, their greatest fear. They just had another miscarriage. So they called their pastor and asked and look for advice and comfort, and the pastor could only empathize with them, and the pastor could only say to them, I don't know what's happening, but I'll be praying for you. I want you to know that Christ is enough for you. Matt is driving home for the last time For the past 25 years, he's been working, serving in the same company for the past 25 years. But he's just been released from work. He's just been let go due to budget cut. He's devastated. He doesn't know what to feel after 25 years. So he drives home. He finds his wife at home welcoming him with a smile. And that's where he just lets everything out. The wife tries to console him, but no words seem to be enough. So the wife simply says to him, "Hey, Matt, I love you regardless. We can get through this. Christ is enough for us." Sarah grew up in a Christian home, but she's been a drug addict since she's 17 years old. On and off, she's been on and off drug. For a period of time, she's able to be free from drugs, but you know, every single time, she's always back to doing drugs again, until she finally got so frustrated. She's lost all hope. So she calls her mom, who's always stuck by her side, and the mom simply says, "Darling, I'll be right here with you. We go through this together. Don't look to be released from drug. Don't focus on the drugs. Focus on Christ. Because Christ is enough for you." See, we like to believe that statement. We like to believe that Christ is enough for us. We like to know that when things go rough, that Christ is enough. We like to know that when sin seems to be winning rather than losing in our life, we want to know that Christ is enough for us. But deep inside our heart, there's this lingering question. Is Christ enough to heal a broken heart? Is Christ really enough to provide us with all that we need? Is Christ really enough to help us overcome sin in our life? You see, I can tell you a lot about Jesus Christ. This is one big part of theology called Christology. But with the 25, 30 minutes that we have together, there's no way we can explain everything that you need to know about Jesus Christ. So I'm going to try to simplify this for all of us this morning. Not because I think you're dumb. I think all of us are smart. You look very smart this morning. But simply because of time. You see, theology can be seen in many different ways. You can look at theology as a fine French cuisine where, you know, it's nice for a selected group of people. Or you can see theology as a hamburger where everybody can enjoy it. I enjoy hamburger. I don't know about you. Maybe that's not a very good analogy. But anyway, this morning, I want to tell you that Christ is complete. That Christ is complete. How is he complete? This is what the Bible reveals to us. Number one, he is completely divine. He is completely divine. You know, in so many different places, Jesus Christ is declared, and he declares himself as God. Look at Isaiah 9, verse 6. This is even before he was born. It has been prophesied who Jesus Christ is. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor," what? "Mighty God." He's not just a prophet. He's a mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And one time, talking to a Jewish audience who believes in monotheism, who believes in only one God, this is what Jesus said to them: "Before Abraham was, I am." See, Jesus was not making a grammatical mistake here. That is on purpose. Because "I am" is a very technical term. That's what God reveals himself to Moses as. He is the great I am. So, in other words, Jesus, very explicitly, as soon as the Jewish people heard this, they know the reference Jesus was making. He's referencing himself. He's declaring himself as the great I am because he is God. Before Abraham was born, I am. And then one final verse for you, and you can go home and look at all the different verses that indicate, that explicitly or implicitly say that Jesus is God. John 10, "I and the Father are one." We're not different. Because we are one, we are God. Again, his Jewish opponents pick up the stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. Which one of these is the reason that you stoned me. We are not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but this is the reason why Jesus was crucified. But for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. See, he's not just declaring himself as God. Even the Jewish people understood exactly what he was saying. He declares himself as God. So Christ is completely divine. He's not just completely divine, he's also completely human. He's also completely human. He is 100% human. So he's 100% God, but he's also 100% human. In the beginning was the Word, John declares. That's how he opens his gospel. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you can replace the Word was with Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. See, maybe you think, oh, it's not so difficult for us to believe that Jesus is human, because after all, he walked on earth, right? Didn't he walk on earth? Did he live and breathe and grew up? So it's easy for us to believe that Jesus is human, but not to the people at the time. You see, the prevalent teaching at the time of Jesus is known as Gnosticism. Gnosticism doesn't believe in the material world. They believe that the material world is evil. Not that they don't believe in the material world. Let me correct that. But they believe that the material world is evil and divine. The divine can never be mixed with the material. That's why John wrote this, to correct that wrong theology. And he said this, I say this because many deceivers have gone out into the world. They deny that Jesus Christ came in a real body. You know why it's important for us to believe that Jesus is completely human? Because unless Jesus is completely human, he's not just the God who masquerades as a human being, we will never have a true Savior. He can never represent us, because only another human being can represent us before God. So he's completely divine, he's completely human, but he's a different kind of human in the sense that he is completely sinless. That's what the Bible says. He's completely sinless. 1 Peter 2:2, he committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. Hebrews says the same thing. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. He's tempted like us in every way, the Bible says. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. That's the difference between Jesus and all of us. He's 100% human, but he committed no sin. So he's completely divine. He's completely human. He's completely sinless. And he's also completely powerful. This is how powerful he is, all right? He predicted his own death. And he predicted his own resurrection. Which human being, which religious teacher can claim that? See, unless you are God, there's no way you know in the first place, and there's no way you can pull it off, correct? If, for you to know, to predict it, and also to pull it off, that you're going to die and then raise yourself to life on the third day, you have to be God. So Christ is completely powerful. Ephesians 1 says this, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, this is the most important verse, the verse 21. Now, he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. He is powerful. Not just over things in this world, but when this whole world is all over, because he is not created, because he is God himself in the flesh, he is powerful over every spiritual being, he is powerful over any time period, both now all the way unto eternity. So, he is completely powerful. And then his redemption is also complete. That's what he came to do. If you're not a Christian here this morning, maybe you're wondering, like, why was Jesus on earth in the first place? Let me tell you why.
He came to this world to redeem all of us from our sins. That's what he did. And his redemption is not partial. His redemption is complete. Hebrews 10, verse 8 and 10 says this. First, Christ said, you did not want animal sacrifices. He's referring to God here. You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them. You see, the people of Israel, they were just following what the custom of the people in those days. People in those days, they always offered sacrifices to their gods, and God accommodated them. See, God worked that in a way that will teach them. This is just a tutor for God. God says, those sacrifices that you offer, yes, it's in the law, but God is not really pleased with them. They were there to teach you of the greatest sacrifice that is to come. Verse 10, for God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. How often? Once for all time. Once for all time. See, in the past, the Jewish people, every single year, they have to go to the temple to offer sin sacrifice because, you know, the priests will demand that sacrifice as a replacement for their punishment. So instead of God punishing them for their sins, God turned the attention away, in a sense, to the animal being sacrificed. But they have to do that every single time, every single year. But Christ, when he came to this world, because he's perfect, he became the perfect sacrifice for us. So once and for all, he redeems us from our sin through his death on the cross. Colossians 2, 13 and 14 says this. You were dead because of your sins. Then God, look at this. See, a lot of Christians always ask me this question. Can I lose my salvation? If I drive my car and I forget to confess my sin, and then I crash and I die, will I still go to heaven? Let me tell you, Christ forgave you 2,000 years ago. Your salvation is complete in Christ. His grace is enough for you. You were dead because of your sins. And then, when did God make you alive? Let me ask you that. Is it now? Is it when you confess your sin? No. God made you alive 2,000 years ago. He made you alive with Christ, for he forgave how much of your sins? All of your sins. Not partial sin, but he forgave all our sins. He canceled. Again, look at the tense. Past tense. He forgave in the past. He canceled in the past the record of the charges against us and took it. Again, past tense. Hey, Jesus Christ took it away by nailing it to the cross. So you were forgiven at the cross, not right now. You just don't know it yet. You just have to believe that he has already forgiven you 2,000 years ago. So he took it upon himself, all the sins of the world. That's why the redemption that he did 2,000 years ago is complete for us. And because Christ is completely divine, he's completely God, he's completely a human, he's completely sinless, he's completely powerful, his redemption is complete, and that is why, church, you need to know this. You need to know this, all right? Pay attention for the next 5 minutes. Christ is complete for us. He is complete for us. Look at this. Every single one of his being, his characteristic, his description, feeds our need. Every single one of them. Look at this. Because Christ is God, he is our creator and our sustainer. Because Christ is human, he is our priest and mediator. Because Christ is sinless, he is our model in holiness. Because Christ is powerful, he is our strength in times of weakness. Because of Christ's complete redemption, he is our confidence. Don't go around feeling like you're defeated, feeling like you're not sure where you're going when you die. No, you can have complete confidence in Christ, that not only Christ is powerful for you in this world, but he is enough for you for the world to come as well. So here's what God wants you to know this morning. Christ makes you complete, and completeness makes you content. And when you are content, it makes you Christ-like. And at the end of the day, what is good? Last week we talked about Romans 8:28. God works out all things for our good. What is good? when you become more and more like Christ. See, the reason why a lot of Christians are not content, this is a question that we want to know, yeah? Because I know a lot of you are struggling with this, unfortunately. I at one time, from time to time, if I'm not careful, I'm also a victim of this. The question is, if this is all true, why aren't Christians content? Why don't we feel content? And the answer is simple. Because they don't believe that Christ is enough for them. Because we simply don't believe that Christ is enough for us. You know, we've been fooled. Satan has pulled the wool over our eyes so that we don't believe this. All right? Listen to this very, very important statement from the Apostle Paul. Colossians 2, verses 8 to 10. This is the last verse for the day. All right? See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. What's hollow and deceptive philosophy? Whenever you turn on your TV, whenever you turn over a magazine that tells you you need this to be happy, you need to look like this to be content, you need to have this, you need to go to this holiday before you can be happy. That's empty and deceptive philosophy of this world. If people come to you and tell you, unless you're married, you will never be happy. You will never be satisfied. Unless you have children, you will never be happy. You'll never be satisfied. Maybe you believe that empty, deceptive philosophy, that you need all of that to be satisfied, to be happy. Paul says, see to it that no one takes you captive. Don't be fooled by what these people say. This philosophy depends on human tradition and elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For, this is the reason, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So is a purpose statement. This is the reason, this is the purpose. So you also, see, theology always has an application. So what if Christ is complete? There is a reason why you need to know that. So you also are complete through your union with Jesus Christ. It's not just important for you to know that Christ is complete, but the reason why you need to know that is so that you can also know that you are complete through your union with Jesus Christ, who is the head of every ruler and every authority. Some Christians still don't feel that Christ is enough for them. You know what they do? Oh, I need to take Holy Communion because unless I take Holy Communion, I won't be complete. Oh, I need to speak in tongues because unless I speak in tongues, I was told that I won't be complete. Oh, I need to have this gift. Oh, I need to do this. See, this is empty and deceptive philosophy of this world. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying prayer is not important. I'm not saying that speaking in tongues is not important. I'm not saying Holy Communion is not important. But if you look to these things in addition to Christ, you are wrong. See, Christ is enough for you. Christ is all you need. All of these things are just expression of our love for Christ. They're just expression of our faith. They don't come on top of our faith. You understand that? Because Christ is enough for us. See, no matter if it's material things of this world, or maybe you think you need to do more things so that you can be accepted more by God. You know, you need to do this, you need to do that before God can be pleased with you. You are wrong. Christ, God through Jesus Christ, is completely pleased with you because He's pleased with the Son. And the Son represents us at the cross. So when God looks at you, He looks at Christ. That's why God is pleased with you, because God is pleased with Christ. You don't have to earn brownie points from God. You don't have to. You just need to trust Him, that He loves you completely, and Christ is all you need. Christ is enough for you. You know, I watched this video of Jim Carrey, who is one of my favorite actors, and Jim Carrey did a presentation at the Golden Globe this not last year, 2016, to present the Best Movie Award in the comedy category. And Jim Carrey, before he presented the award, had a small speech. But it's amazing. I saw the expression on his face, and I heard what he said. I want you to pay attention to what he said. He's being funny. He's Jim Carrey. But I can see truthfulness in what he said. I can see that that comes from his heart. And the audience didn't seem to realize that he's not just making comedy, he's making a statement. So I want you to watch this.
From the upcoming film True Crimes, please welcome two-time Golden Globe winner, Jim Carrey.
Thank you. I am two-time Golden Globe winner, Jim Carrey. You know, when I go to sleep at night, I'm not just a guy going to sleep. I'm two-time Golden Globe winner, Jim Carrey, going to get some well-needed shut-eye. And when I dream, I don't just dream any old dream. No, sir. I dream about being three-time Golden Globe winning actor Jim Carrey. Because then I would be enough. It would finally be true. And I could stop this terrible search. For what I know ultimately won't fulfill me.
This is the transcript of what he said. I dream about being three-time Golden Globe winning actor Jim Carrey, because then I would be enough. It would finally be true, and I could stop this terrible search for what I know ultimately won't fulfill me. What a sad statement. People know that what they have in their life ultimately won't fulfill them. But the tragedy is, we keep searching for them. We keep wanting them in our life. You can have all the C's in the world, unless you have the biggest C of all, Christ, it will never be enough for you. Let me tell you that. It will never be enough for you. Let me close with this. Imagine an 8-year-old boy with a broken toy. He cries and tells his daddy to fix it. Dad, my toy is broken. Please fix it. And the dad says to his 8-year-old boy, "Hey, son, guess what? Your rich uncle just died and left you with $500 million. How do you think the child would respond? "Yeah!" No. An 8-year-old boy does not have the mental capacity to appreciate what the dad just said. He still wants his broken toy to be fixed, correct? He doesn't care about the $500 million. He cares about his toy, broken, and right now, as far as he's concerned, it's not fixed. See, we are like that 8-year-old boy. We have this huge inheritance in Christ. We have everything that we need in Christ. And like a spoiled 8-year-old, we tell God, "God, I need this. I want this. I want this. I want this. Please." And we think God is bad to us if He doesn't give us all that. While in the meantime, we have this Christ, worth to us more than gold or silver. And yet we don't find our satisfaction in Him. We look to something else for our satisfaction. Christ is not enough for us. It's not complete for us. But we think these other things will complete us. So, my challenge to you today is, Christ makes us complete. Therefore, He deserves our complete allegiance. Christ says, "Come and follow me. Try me. I will make you complete. Don't look to others for your completeness. Look to me for your completeness." I want you to stand on your feet right now. I want us to sing this song before I pray. It's a powerful song. I want you to declare this as the cry of your heart, that Christ is enough for me. And then tell Him, "I will follow you Today I've decided to follow Christ, wherever you are.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website, therocks.org.au.